This week, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force has updated its guidelines for depression screening in adults to specifically include pregnant and postpartum women for the first time. The panel's now advocating depression screening for all new and expectant mothers. An estimated 1 in 7 women experience postpartum depression symptoms, but it's a condition that can also lead to a great deal of fear and confusion for new mothers. Molly Purrier is a mother of 2. After experiencing depression during pregnancy and after the birth of her first child, she co-founded Brooklyn PPD Support here in New York City. That was 10 years ago, and she joins me now in the studio. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Also on the line, Dr. Samantha Meltzer-Brody, director of the Perinatal Psychiatry Program at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Dr. Meltzer-Brody, and welcome to you.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
And let me start with you, Dr. Meltzer-Brody. Talk about the importance of these new recommendations and the unmet need here, expectant mothers and new mothers and postpartum depression.
Well, I think this is a terrific and critically important step forward. We've known for a long time that the prevalence of depression and anxiety during pregnancy and postpartum is the highest of a woman's lifetime, in particular the first month postpartum. And so what's really wonderful about this is there's finally the body like the U.S. Services Preventative Task Force that is coming forward saying this needs to be addressed. And my hope is that this will then lead to policy changes.
Now, this may also mean that many insurance plans, including under Obamacare, will start to pay for this screening. But what does it mean in the medical culture, Dr. Meltzer-Brody, that these recommendations are now made if primary care physicians and people like OBGYNs for so many years have been avoiding talking about this and screening for it? Why would they change now?
Well, like anything, there are culture changes that occur, and culture changes can occur for many reasons. Sometimes they occur because there's a mandate that forces the issue. I think that over the last decade in the United States, there has been an enormous shift by most of the professional medical organizations towards seeing screening as important. But now that something like the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force comes forward, this then will allow it to be changed in such a way so that there's no longer an excuse not to screen.
Molly Purrier, talk about your personal experience here. Depression is always difficult. Anxiety is always difficult. As I've been told, I've never been a mother, obviously, but there is an added burden that you're supposed to be thrilled about the birth of your child. You're supposed to be a happy, good mom. If that's not necessarily the case, there's just a huge amount of conflict involved.
Yes. And one thing that someone told me shortly after the birth of my son 10 years ago is that depression and postpartum depression are, the symptoms are no different. But with postpartum depression, there's a baby involved. So there's no option of hiding under the covers and really withdrawing. My symptoms started, I'd say, in the last month of my pregnancy. And I had trouble sleeping. I was anxious. I had obsessive thoughts. And then things just went from bad to worse when my son was born. And he was a healthy, bouncing baby boy. It was a planned pregnancy. I was just kind of unprepared for the reality. I thought I was going to have these instincts that were just going to kick in as soon as he was born. And I felt adrift right off the bat because that didn't happen. I didn't feel like I knew what I was doing.
Have you found that many of the women in your group in Brooklyn had these experiences compounded by the fact that it was difficult to talk about with their doctor or their child's doctor, or that they were never asked about it?
Well, yes, it's just something that's not discussed. And when I started Brooklyn PPD Support, we spoke to my partner and I at the time, we spoke to pediatricians about putting pamphlets in waiting rooms, and there was resistance because it was sort of, there was this false notion, even in the medical community, that if it's discussed, if it's brought up, that it's somehow going to cause symptoms. I think quite the opposite is true, that the less we discuss it, the more scary it is.
Dr. Meltzer-Brody, does Molly's experience here sound familiar to you?
Molly's experience sounds absolutely classic. And when we started our program at the University of North Carolina in 2004, we were fortunate to have wonderful collaboration with OBGYN and pediatrics here. But that is often not the case. And it's enormously frustrating to see people suffer. I applaud what Molly has done, and so many women across the country have worked to start advocacy organizations. We don't think it's acceptable for any other organ or disease system in the body to ignore it the way we ignore mental health. So it would never be acceptable to say, it really makes us uncomfortable to screen for a heart issue or high blood pressure, so we're just not going to do it. And unfortunately, this is the story of mental health and the stigma around mental health. And then you add a women's health issue to it, and it just all gets magnified.
Dr. Meltzer Brody, one of the blessings of much more widespread depression screening throughout the population has been identifying many, many more people who could use help. One of the downsides has been overprescribing and throwing medications like Zoloft or whatever at a lot of people who don't necessarily need them. I wonder if that's a risk here.
Well, I think that pregnancy and then postpartum and for women who are lactating, there's certain concerns that make overprescribing actually much less likely. And there are some women that absolutely need to take medication because of the severity of their symptoms or their history or whatever it may be that dictates that that's the appropriate treatment course. But there's many other available therapies too. There's all types of psychotherapies. And one of the challenges for our field is going to be figuring out how to deliver care with a broad range of therapies, both psychotherapies as well as medication therapy, in a way that you can deliver it on a population health level.
Molly Purrier, going on that point, I imagine that a lot of women in your group might have thought, I have a problem, but I'm not going to take some drug that's going to get into my baby if I'm breastfeeding. I'm just not going to deal with this. I don't want to take a drug.
Right. That's definitely a concern, and that was a concern of mine. And I did have problems breastfeeding in the beginning, and it wasn't until about 6 weeks postpartum that we really got the hang of it. And so it became something that by the time I was at my lowest point, about 5 months postpartum, I kind of felt like it was the only thing that I was doing right, and I didn't want to give it up. And so I felt like I was between a rock and a hard place. I felt like I needed medication because I had been on it in the past and it had been helpful. But I didn't want to stop breastfeeding. And ultimately, I made the decision through sort of a cost-benefit analysis to go on medication and to continue breastfeeding for another 6-7 months.
Well, we appreciate you coming in and talking about your own experience, as scary as it was, probably a benefit to a lot more people. So thank you.
Thank you.
New recommendations from the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force urging that physicians screen all expectant mothers and new mothers for depression. Joining me in the studio is Molly Purrier. She's co-founder of Brooklyn PPD Support, and also Dr. Samantha Meltzer Brody, director of the Perinatal Psychiatry Program at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.